And the title today is in Within 3 Days, We Shall Pass Over This Jordan. Let's stand, all right, as we just read Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Okay, Joshua chapter 10, or chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Okay, so remember. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Let's read the two verses together, okay? Let's read the two verses together. I'll just use these two verses as a starting point, but we'll refer to other verses for the rest of the short exhortation. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are here in our midst. We thank you already, Lord, for the encouragement, firstly, of all the brethren who have brought food, and we are able to share together. And I believe, Lord, according to the scriptures, charity feast, whereby we come because we love the people of God, and we cook because we love the people of God. We are able to feast together, Lord, not so much just for ourselves, but for everyone else. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship and the help, Lord, brethren and people who are willing to contribute. We thank you this night. We even have visitors with us to share with us, Lord, the goodness and kindness of Christ upon our lives. Today, as we look into your precious word, we ask you to open our hearts, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to do your will in 2013. Oh God, help us to identify certain things, Lord, that we need in order to prepare ourselves to do your will. So we thank you, Lord, for this short time. We pray that thy Holy Spirit will still be the teacher, and that, God, you will hide me behind thy cross, that the words that are spoken will be your words. May the youngest, Lord, to the oldest here, even those of a different language, understand your heart and your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. All right, children, you have to stay with me for a while. Ken? Ken? If you'll stay with me after, you can take some ice cream. But you must ask your parents first. Okay. Okay. Just a little while. Okay. I actually wanted to just highlight a little bit about what's going to happen in 2013. Okay. We thank God for the new place that we're going to move into. Okay, we have started already in terms of, I think, our brethren is halfway through designing the place. All right, then after this Saturday, we will discuss the different options. And then after that, we'll present the shortlisted program, or rather the layout, right? Then for all of us to have some input into the final layout. Then after that, when it's confirmed, then we will put it to the contractors for a quotation, and then we'll choose the cheapest and the best ones. And then we'll see how much more do we need, and then we will can start work. Our goal is to start work probably mid-February, all right? Mid-February, and we're aiming, hopefully, giving it 6 weeks to complete all the renovations, okay? Why mid-February? It's because of usually contractors have a lot of build-up because of the Chinese New Year. People want to do their homes and all that. So after the Chinese New Year, from mid-February all the way to the end of March, all right? So that means we have targeted for our church plan April 2013 to be preparation to move in. Okay, Uncle Roland will be working together with Brother Song Ling to coordinate this move forward. All right, to keep the things we need. Over the years, we've collected a lot of things. All right, their job is to inventorize things, and if they call, their goal is to oversee. So if they ask you for help, just to cooperate with them so that we can prepare for this move ahead. Okay, so at the same time, two things will be going. So they will be doing all the packing, and then together with some of the brethren, at the same time, the contractors will also do the renovations. Okay, so it's up to them when they want to start. But remember, the whole month of April is dedicated to that. But even before that, we can actually start inventorizing things already. Okay, and it's for accountability, because things like the Registry of Societies will want to know that now we possess speakers, we possess all these things will be actually. They want us to justify and explain and at least kind of, what do you call that? Report that you actually have these assets. Okay? So in the past, when we moved from Telopo to here, we only had one. That's a Mitsubishi Aircon. Okay? But now we're going to bring, thank God this time we're going to move to the new place. But now we actually have some other electronic equipment that we have to move, LCD projectors, etc. Okay? So these are assets that we need. But do cooperate with them. All right? I'm sure they will be a great help to ensure that we move across with ease. So another big thing that's going to happen in our church is the move to discipleship groups. okay, we want everyone to be taken care of. The man has been going through certain things. We've been trying to unify in our mind with regards to the doctrines of the church, ensuring that every man know what is the right thing based on God's word. And I'll be personally speaking with each one of them over the next few months to ascertain God's will with regards to this DG group leader ministry, so that we want them to be able to also be part and parcel of taking care of the people here. All right, so please pray. We have the place, we have the discipleship group, and hopefully in the new year or so, there'll be, we're already, at least in our minds, appointing key people to do certain things in Ambassador. All right, so there are many things that will change. We need to move, we need to grow. All right, if you remember when the people from Egypt, the Israelites from Egypt, when they moved out, all right, all they did was follow Moses, okay? But over time, they begin to have different responsibilities. In fact, Jethro, who knows Jethro? Who's Jethro? Jethro is the father-in-law of Moses, who actually instructed Moses, hey, if you're going to do things all by yourself, you're going to die. You cannot handle this, okay? And so he gave counsel, appoint 70 men, teach them God's word, and get them to manage the children of Israel. And by God's grace, that's a very, very wise thing, and that's what we're going to do. Okay, but coming back to Joshua chapter 1, I only have 3 points, okay, and hopefully it will be an encouragement for us. I want us to understand in Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, there's something very significant in that particular verse that Joshua told the children of Israel. He told them this, in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Interestingly, the officers of the people, the word officers has to do with someone who records things, someone who is overseeing things, who will record down the things of what is happening around the children of Israel. And so Joshua, after he was commanded by God, God told him, go to all the officers, tell them, prepare everyone to do what? Verse 11, pass through the host, in other words, go through the entire, can you imagine, a nation of over 2 million people now. There's over 2 million people, and Joshua told the officers, go and tell everyone to do what? Command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. The word victuals means food. Prepare rations, okay? Just like an army going to war, prepare your rations, prepare your food, because what? For within 3 days. The within 3 days is a very important Hebrew phrase. During the time, whenever there is, okay, this is a very important point. Whenever there is a severe, very difficult obstacle stopping or hindering something in the life of Israel or in the life of those ancient people or in the life of the Jewish people, they always, in order to increase courage, in order to increase the determination and bravery of the people, they always use the phrase, within 3 days, within 3 days. The word within 3 days has to do with building up confidence in spite of the problem in front of you, okay? We are going to move into 2013, and there's going to be obstacles. There may be some big ones, small ones for all of us, but I want us to consider 3 things. Number one, we need to trust. The first point is, if you are writing notes, the need to trust God's promise more than the great barrier. What barrier? Why did Joshua say within 3 days? Before them, between the children of Israel and the promised land, is the Jordan River. The problem that they were having is, during the time of year, the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. In other words, it is deep, it is difficult, there are no bridges, there are no small crossing points, there are no boats they have, there are no like aircraft carriers, you know, there are no combat engineers to build bridges across. It is going to be a big problem bringing 2 million people across a big Jordan River. By the way, the Jordan River is not very big, but it's fast flowing, it's dangerous, and it has a distance probably between 30 to 50 meters. But to bring the entire nation of Israel across is going to be a big problem for them during that time, okay? But you know what Joshua says? Within 3 days. Within 3 days, we are going across. In other words, despite the obstacle you see in front of you, within 3 days, we're going across. We are going across, guys. Go and prepare the food. Tell the people, prepare the food. We are going across in 3 days. Are you at that point in your life that you want to cross with confidence, but you find there's no opportunity humanly presenting itself? Are you trusting? Are we trusting our own abilities, our own resolutions, our resources? You know, when Joshua says within 3 days we are going across, he didn't say it based on his own human confidence. You know why? God just spoke to him in the first 10 verses. What did God tell them? Tell him, be strong and very courageous. God says, I'm going to be with you. God says, you take me with you. My divine presence will be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And God says, have I not commanded you, verse 9, to be strong and be very courageous? And then after Joshua taking the promise of God, goes back to the host, guys, within 3 days, we're going across. God says he's going to be with us. I'm not fearful. Let's go. First point, we need to trust God's promise more than the great barrier. You know, Joshua wasn't trusting himself. He was trusting God. Because if we trust ourselves to get across, by the way, if we try to live 2013 in our own strength, we're going to have trouble. We're going to fall. Because the Bible tells us, John 15:5. Let me just read that. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus says, look, I am the vine. The vine is the main branch. The branch anchors itself into the ground by the roots. It is through the roots that the water and the nutrients go up into the tree to strengthen the leaves, to provide nutrition and water to the leaves. Jesus says, I am that vine. We are all the leaves. And he says, if you are going to grow, you got to stay with me. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same will bring forth fruit. When the branches have the nutrition coming from the tree going into the leaves, it will bear fruit. You know what Jesus says in that illustration at the end? For without me, ye can do nothing. Ambassador Baptist Church will not go. The moment we think we are good, the moment we think we have done it, the moment we think our job is, the moment we think we have all the strength we need, that's the time we stop growing. That's the time, because there's a barrier, an obstacle. Number one, we need to trust God's promise more than the great barrier, number one. Number two, there's a need for us to identify what, therefore, are the barriers and obstacles or hindrances to the plan of God. Because if you look down to Joshua chapter 1, verse 12, immediately after Joshua said, let's go, the first group, remember he says within 3 days? So within that 3 days, Joshua is supposed to make some preparations. And one of the first preparations was he has to deal with certain groups of people before they actually go into the promised land. One of the groups is the Gadites and the Reubenites. And of the tribe of Manasseh, okay? To the half-tribe of Manasseh. There's 2.5 tribes. Now, many years ago, I preached it, and this is an interesting situation. 2.5 tribes of Israel had a problem. What happened was, in the book of Numbers, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just relate the story. In the book of Numbers 32, verse 20 to 27, Moses was, in a sense, confronting these two groups. Because Moses wanted everyone to go across, but there were 2.5 tribes of people say, hey, Moses, we'll strike a deal with you. We kind of like the place over across this side of Jordan. Tell you what, Moses, we will leave our wives and our children and our possession over on this side of Jordan, but we will go in and fight together with you in the promised land. When we have won the promised land already, grant to us that we can come back across the Jordan back to this place again. Does that make sense? That was the situation. And Moses actually said, all right, if that's what you want, we'll give it to you. But you know, you do not discourage your brethren. Make sure when you go and fight, you go along with it. He said, no problem, Moses, we'll keep that. That is the background of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 12. After Joshua said, we'll go, in verse 12, to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half, the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua. Remember the word, right? Remember your promise. Remember your promise which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord had given you rest. And had given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord had given your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan, towards the sun rising. So Joshua said, hey, look guys, remember your promise, huh? You already promised Moses that you and all the armed men will go and fight. All right? You know what the guys do? Say yes. There was a problem with that arrangement. You see, God's not going to force us to go and fight the war. But God did insist, Moses did insist, don't you dare discourage your brethren as they are fighting forwards. Okay? If you really want this side, fine. Go and fight. Once God has conquered the promised land, then come back and then settle here. You know what's the problem with that? There are two problems that Joshua will have to deal with. Number one is the love of the world. You see, God wanted all of them to go into the promised land, right? But what did these 2.5 tribes want to do? No, I don't want to just go across. I want to come back over here. You know, the love of this world is a very strong attraction. The problem that the 2.5 tribe of Manasseh had, or the 2.5 tribes had, was this. At the end, Joshua, God blessed the nation of Israel. Joshua conquered the entire land. The 2.5 tribes came back over this side. You know, sometimes we feel that, well, Lord, I'm serving you, but you know, after I withdraw into the world where I like. You know what was the problem with them? There were two things that happened to them. Number one, after, listen to this, as they were involved in the so-called service of God to conquer the promised land, and they finished it, they came back, right? You know what happened to the 2.5 tribes of these people? Gradually, because of their distance away from the life of Israel, they began to be cut off from the worship of Yahweh. That's one. They begin to be cut off from what God wanted them to learn within the community of the nation of Israel. Isn't it true that even as Christians, we may serve God in church, but when we go back into the world and finish, and after a while, you begin to love the world more than the people of God? And that was what happened. But you know the second problem they had? The first 2.5 tribes to be destroyed when the Assyrians came in, guess who? Was Manasseh, Gadites, and the Reubenites. You know why? Because they were closest to the Assyrians. They weren't within the community that could protect them. They were the first. When the Assyrians came in to destroy Israel, they were the first 2.5 tribes to go down. We need to identify the barriers and obstacles that might be hindrances to God's plan in our life. And number one is our love for the world. Oh, Christian, don't love the world. Don't love neither even the things of this world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Don't love the world. What are some of the things that you told the Lord that you were going to do? Do it. Let the world go. The world is not going to reward you. You know that, don't you? Christ is going to reward you. So why love the world? All right, that's one. But another thing we need to identify is our obedience to biblical authority. Because in verse 16 to 18, after Joshua told these people, in verse 16 to 18, they said, and they answered Joshua and saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Joshua, whatever you tell us, we'll do. Where you send us, we'll go. Okay? And that's important. A few things there. Number one, the people recognize the authority that God has given to this leader. And when Joshua told them, said, whatever you do, we'll listen to you. Wherever you send us, we will go. Okay? But in biblical authority, notice, but on that first, number one, we need to understand our obedience. This is one area that obedience to parents, obedience to pastoral authority. And I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm saying this because we are seeing in modern-day Christianity almost a repulsion to spiritual authority. No one likes to be told what to do. And yet, biblical obedience is one of the highest traits of a born-again Christian. To the point that God actually told King Saul through Samuel to obey is better than sacrifice. I'm not interested in what you're giving me. I'm more interested in your heart in obeying me. To obey is better than sacrifice. Number one is obedience. But the other thing that you need to obey is, or rather, firstly is the obedience part. You know, Christians, we just need to learn to obey. In our family, at least, obedience is, when they're young, is to be without question. You know, you can ask questions as to how to do it, but you don't ask why. Because the moment you ask why, it's a challenge to the authority. Okay? Now, I'm not asking anyone, and I don't believe this is what God says, we don't mindlessly obey. Okay? That is a mark of a cult. Do you know what I mean by mindlessly obey? That means you don't even think, you just obey. Okay? But if you can say, okay, this instruction, is it against Scripture? It's not. Okay, I'll obey. Because the second part in that is this. In verse 17, according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Now that's good, that's obedience. But notice the qualification. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. In other words, Josh, these people are saying, we'll obey you. Just make sure God's with you. We can recognize God's mark on you. And Joshua, when you go, we'll go. Because we know God is with you. In other words, when we obey, it must be based on God's word, biblical authority. And if it's right, and if it's not sin, and the direction is set, you know what God says? Follow. Do we have a problem with obedience to biblical authority? Not just to pastoral authority, but authority of parents, authority of our whoever that's over us. Children, do you have problems with obeying authority? Do you realize you will not grow unless you get this right? That's the most basic. Obedience to authority that God has given to us. And finally, the need for personal sanctification. Remember, within 3 days, we shall go over this Jordan. Number one, within the 3 days, we need to trust God's promises more than the great barrier. Number two, to identify some of the barriers we have. And number three, the need for personal sanctification. Joshua 3, verse 5. I believe of the three, this is the most important. Of course, all are important. But Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Now in chapter 2, I won't go through the whole thing. Chapter 2 is when Joshua, within those 3 days, sent the spies. All right? Sent two spies into the city of Jericho to find out more. Okay? And that's where we have the story of Rahab. All right? So in that situation, Joshua in verse chapter 2, verse 24, said, "And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord had delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." So there was confidence, okay? Within those 3 days, number one, prepare the food. Number two, what Joshua did in those 3 days, as they prepared to go and take the land, send the spies, get all the information they had, all right? This is a military strategy, okay? Before you fight, you need to get as much information as possible. But then notice what Joshua did before the people of Israel go into the promised land. He said, Joshua 3, verse 5, he said, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." If you look at verse 2, it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the whole. So the 3 days was accomplished. Before they went in, Joshua said in verse 5, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourself. The word sanctify means to be set apart. Okay, the word sanctify means to be set apart. Set apart specifically for something. What do the Israelites usually do when they are to be set apart? Usually, they have to do a few things. Number one, they have to set themselves apart ceremonially. I think some of the practices in different religions is such that before you come into a place of worship, for example, before you go into a mosque, you have to take out your shoes and wash your feet. Yes? Okay? Before you go into the Catholic Church, I think, I'm not too sure whether it's right or not, but there was one time I went to a Catholic Church just to, I think it was someone's funeral, but before I go in, they say you're supposed to what, touch the holy water or something like that. Yeah? Yeah, I'm right. Okay, there you go. So I'm right. So there's certain rituals that you have to do before you go into a worship place. So the Jewish people, when Joshua says set aside apart, they have to ceremonially look at what Moses said, and then to set themselves apart, they got to do certain things. Okay? Number one, in Exodus 19, they have to wash themselves, clean themselves up, all right? To prepare for whatever that God wants them to do. Number two, take away all the sin in their life, the yeast in their life, okay? Prepare themselves ceremonially to go before God. And so when Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, it's ceremonially, they also do prayers. In other words, they got to prepare their heart before they go into the promised land. You know, as I think through this, how many of us actually prayed through? Think about 2013. Say, God, here am I in the threshold of 2013. Lord, you have done so much for me this year in 2012. God, I'm taking stock of all the blessings. Yeah, God, I kind of goofed up a bit here. I spoiled certain things here in my life. Lord, thank you that after I repented, turned back to you, Lord, I've come back. And Lord, on the threshold of a brand new 365 days that you've given to me, God, I set myself apart. Lord, forgive me my this. Take away my sin on that. Strengthen my resolve for some things before we actually go into 2013. You know what Joshua is telling the children of Israel? Before you go into the promised land, God says, set yourself apart. Spiritually speaking, we set ourselves apart many times as Christians, and I think this is important, and I see it all the time, and unfortunately it's prevailing. Many Christians will say, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm setting myself apart from the sins of this world. Yeah, well, I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do that. So I'm setting myself apart from the sins of this world. But may I say one thing? And I think this is just a revision. Sanctification is two parts. The first part is setting aside away from sin. And number two, it's a setting yourself to God. Does that make sense? And that simply means that even though we are setting aside away from sin, but what are we actively doing for God? Because we've been set apart for God. Does it make sense? Any questions? It's so important. Remember, as Christians, when we are set apart, we get rid of sin in our lives, not just to be holy before people, but we set ourselves from sin in order to do the will of God. And that is so important. I was reading a particular commentary on this, and this particular person actually was saying this. When we set ourselves apart, it is for this reason. An unsanctified person cannot honestly do the plan of God. An unsanctified person cannot honestly bear the purpose of God. In other words, even though I may be a pastor, but if I kind of, I'll just keep myself holy, just don't do so much. You know what? Even though God wants to bless, I can't bring the church forwards. Does it make sense? If I don't actively commit myself to the task. Many Christians believe it is their duty to remain pure. But you know what God wants for us? It's not just sanctifying by being pure, but sanctifying ourselves to do the will and the work of God. Oh, that is the most important. You know, when Joshua told the people, sanctify yourselves because you're going into that land. What were they preparing for? They were preparing for war. They were preparing for war. And Joshua knew that, Joshua had prior, he knew that if there is sin in the life of Israel, something will happen. He said, guys, you got to set yourself apart. Let's not play a fool with this. God says, go into the promised land. And when they went into the promised land, there were a few things. Number one, obstacles. There were enemies that were ready to kill them. And they absolutely need the protection of God. And so, Joshua said, you have to set yourselves apart, both in terms of purity, but also in terms of your commitment to what God wants us to do. However, if our sanctification is just one part, it will be like a student who dressed in their school uniform, but does not study or do their homework. It's like a lawful citizen who does not litter, because he knows it's against the law, but when he sees litter on the floor, he just walks past. He doesn't contribute to the cleanliness of the society. That's fine, but you know what? Can you see that we do not advance the cause of Christ? Many Christians will not choose to do wrong, but many Christians will not give themselves totally to Christ. They choose to sit on the fence of this world. And they say, well, I'll just sit on the fence. Do you realize in the Bible, there is no middle ground? Because Jesus said in Luke 11:28, he that's not with me is against me. I'm here to tell you as your shepherd that as Christians, there is no middle ground. It's either you're for God, and we choose to do nothing, we're actually against God. Oh, Christian, understand this. Understand this principle from the Scriptures. Are we willing to be committed to Christ and His cause and His church this coming year? Oh, yeah, there are many plans that we may have, but is it something that God is asking us to do? Do you know why we must be on God's side? Let's turn to the book of Matthew 13:58. Finish soon. Matthew 13:58. Let's read together this. Matthew 13:58. Let's read together. Ready? Matthew 13:58. Ready? Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Why do people not want to commit themselves to Christ? Joseph, do you remember? Why do many people are afraid to jump off? Because they are afraid. They are fearful. And you know, the opposite of fear is faith. But the Lord Jesus, and this is so important, sometimes we say we have no blessings in our life, that God is not doing anything in our life. I hope that's not true. Because Jesus said here, the Bible said, Jesus wasn't able to do any mighty works because of unbelief. I don't trust God. My mind is not set on the principles of God. Oh, I won't do anything wrong, but I'm not committed to the cause of Christ. I'll just follow what the world does. As we close, Christians, we need to learn to trust God in 2013. We need to identify the areas, well, specifically here, our love for this world and our obedience. But number three, is God going to do mighty works in your life in 2013? Or are you going to remain the way you are? There are many people all over this world, children included. Children, let me give you a challenge. Are you going to be more attentive to God's word in 2013? I'm serious. You know, as pastor for children, if you don't have a love for God now, you're not going to have a love for God when you grow up. You know why? Because all the things of this world will come swarming in, flooding in. NS will come, university will come, all the philosophies of this world will come. If we don't settle now, I'm going to love God first. You're going to have a problem next time. No, as we grow older, are we going to put God first too? Is God going to do something mighty in your life? Are we going to remain the way we are? We just want to talk about this part when God has heard. Look, lift up your eyes to the fields. Don't just look around. Lift up your eyes to the fields. Many people are touched by the will of God when they begin to say, hey, God, I'm not living for myself. What do you want me to do? And God begins to open their eyes. Are we going to remain where? Let me just give you a challenge for 2013 with this. The need for personal sanctification. And the reason why many Christians do not grow is because, yes, they are set apart away from sin, but they are never committed to Christ. I'm challenging you as pastor of this church. May God have 2013, because 2013 is towards a discipleship church, a church that will follow Christ as not just a sit-around Christian, But a Christian will say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? As a disciple Christian. Someone who says, I'm going to follow Jesus. And by the way, Jesus took short breaks. He rest. He did rest. The reason why Jesus rested was so that he could get back into winning people to Christ, ministering to people's needs. That is the life of a minister, a life of Christ. And if we are all more to be more like Christ, we need not only the sanctification away from sin, but we need to set aside ourselves for God. I don't know what God wants you to do, but for those who need to be baptized, are you going to remain unbaptized? Oh, Christ is going to come soon. When are we going to obey God? For those who need to get things right, when are we going to get things right? Christ is coming soon. Deal with those things. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we close, I'm asking you to speak to our hearts in the book of Joshua. Father, yesterday you taught us, Lord, we need to forget the past. We need to trust the promises of God. We need to embrace the plan of God. We need to be so filled with the precepts of God so that we can be assured of the prosperity of God. And today, Lord, as we stand on the threshold of going into the promised land, Lord, I'm asking you, or rather going into 2013, Lord, I'm asking you to speak to our hearts in a special way. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this. Is there anyone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I would sanctify myself for 2013 in whatever way that God is asking you to do? I know it's very general, but only God knows what's happening in your heart. But maybe you just want, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I want to set myself apart for God so that God can bless and do mighty works in my life in 2013. Is there anyone like this? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you and pray that God will use you in 2013. Is there anyone like this? Are there some areas, have you identified certain areas? Say, God, I don't want to be like that anymore. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Commit your decision to the Lord tonight. Is there one person that's put up their hand and said, God, I want to be set apart for you in 2013. Is there anyone else? As you pray, amen, I see that hand too. Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen. Lord, I want to set myself specifically, not merely away from sin, but God, help me to do certain things more in my life for you. Is there anyone else? And let's pray. Father, I just pray for these brethren that's put up their hands. Oh God, I pray for grace and strength. Lord, before them is the mighty Jordan River. Before them is the difficulties that they may face. Before them are the obstacles. But God, thank you, before them is the great and mighty God that is able to stop even the waters of Jordan, which you did, Lord, when they by faith stepped into that water. And you opened the Jordan River and the whole nation of Israel went through simply by faith. Lord, I pray for these three brethren. I ask you to do something in their lives in 2013 that only you can do. I can't, only you can. And I pray that their lives will be different in 2013. Lord, I pray that they will grow. I'm thankful, Lord, that they have. But yet, Lord, I believe in their hearts they want you to do not more, but do a stronger work, a consolidating work, a work of that they can commit themselves to you. So, Lord, I pray for the rest of us as we prepare our hearts for the rest of the evening. And, Lord, there are many things that many people want to share. And I pray it will just be a time that we just look back. Lord, on behalf of Ambassador Baptist Church, we thank you because you've been so good to us. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Strengthen the brethren that have made decisions or at least wanted prayer. I ask you, Lord, to take control of their will and their mind as they surrender to you. And for the rest of us, Lord, help us to do likewise in our own hearts, in the privacy of our own homes. Help us with courage that within 3 days, Lord, we will pass into 2013 for your will. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I pass this time to...